but that the works of God should be revealed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. What exactly are the works of God? If we were to call to mind all of the sacred scriptures, survey the universe from furthest flung space, and take stock of what it all means, we must come to one conclusion: life. The works of God, and only of God, are life. We may endlessly scan the skies for it. We may spend trillions upon trillions of dollars for more than half a century now listening for it. We may fill our fantasy entertainments with it. But be assured of this: life alone belongs to God. And our beautiful, fragile earth, on which he has shed his grace, abounds with it. Earth, alone in a sterile void of spinning dead rocks, which we generously term the other planets. Other planets, they no more resemble our stunning Earth than a desert of barren stones resembles a coral reef teeming with many-colored, many-shaped, and animate life. As the gospel we read this morning begins, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Is this not also a depiction of our solar system? The light shineth in darkness, and the dumb darkness, staring onto our earth, comprehended nothing. Life belongs to God alone, and creation. And in our gospel passage, God's Son declares in a series of I am phrases, I am the light of the world. The phrase I am, of course, refers to God's name, I am who I am, Exodus 3:14. As the Roman Catholic saint and doctor of the Roman Catholic Church, Thomas Aquinas, commented, this phrase singles out God as being unique in the created order. Created things, creatures, have being. God the Creator alone is being. The Vulgate translation, ego sum qui sum, is made of two infinitive, we might say infinite or absolute, forms of the verb to be, referring only to itself through a relative pronoun, qui, a closed system of pure being. Jesus says in our reading this morning, I am in the world, which is to say, I am is in the world. Now, in the catalog of gospel miracles, we usually hear a litany of questions and answers afterwards. For example, when Jesus exorcises a possessed boy whom the disciples could not heal, the disciples come to Jesus for an explanation. And Jesus rebuked him, and the demon came out of him, and the boy was cured instantly. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? But this morning, our gospel reading begins with the explanation. Because our story this morning is not about healing, or about the blind man, or about his past or family. Jesus answered, it was not this man that sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God might be made manifest in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night comes when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Our story is about the works of God and our proper relationship to God, our Maker. Jesus tells us this before The story goes on. We cannot really say that the man born blind is healed, for he never had sight in the first place. How can you heal someone, bring back to health what never existed? You cannot repair what never was broken. The proper adjective for this man is not blind, but uncompleted. At his birth, he was not completed. Jesus does not, therefore, utter the command, "Be healed," as he does elsewhere. Rather, he takes up once again the act of creation and completes him. He spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, recalling Genesis 2:7 that the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground. Or the book of Jeremiah, "Behold, like the clay of the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel." Jesus is the eternal word of creation. He is the agency of the Holy Trinity who made and makes the world. And this is his subject in the story of the man born blind. "I am in the world." He tells the disciples, "I am the light of the world," recalling Genesis 1:3. "Then God said, let there be light, and there was light." Light is the primal act of creation. It is the divine energy that created and animated the entire universe. This is the essence of our Big Bang theory, that the entire universe was packed into one atom and then released in a one-of-a-kind display of incalculable energy. Astrophysicists aver that this atom was unpacked in 1/10^43 seconds. That's a fractional second of 1/10, followed by 42 more zeros. Mind-boggling. Who can believe it? I find it interesting that people readily accept this mind-bending truth, yet have difficulty accepting the simple truth of God's being and his kingdom. When I was a researcher at Bell Labs many years ago, my boss's boss, Arno Penzias, who won the Nobel Prize in 1978 for confirming the Big Bang theory, told me that he read Genesis 1 as being, quote, "a precise, though poetic, statement of the Big Bang theory. First there was light, then there was time, then matter, then more complex matter." Do you know what our proper relationship is to God? I say with the hairs on my arm still standing on end. Dependence. Complete and utter and grateful dependence. For he is our all, our everything, our maker, our provider, our God. He is not a healer, much less a faith healer, as some Christians seem to believe. You do not worship your doctor or love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength because he repaired your knee or removed a deadly cancer. God did not send his son to live among us because he wanted everyone to be healed. If he had, be assured, then everyone would have been healed. No. God sent his son to awaken us from our self-absorbed and hazardous daydreams, our gauzy, hazy world where everything is about us and we only think of God when we want things or when we reach a point of desperation. This is a taker's relationship, not a love relationship. Our proper relationship to God is an incommensurable love that proceeds from understanding that every cell of your body and every atom of the beautiful earth and skies is a gift from him who made all and then who has turned his great and almighty heart to you because he loves you. What love is this? In Mary's lap is sleeping. I must share that I have grown weary of all the reporting on coronavirus curves. The implied premise were as if people do not die, that this virus has brought death into the world. My brothers and sisters, every day 150,000 people die. Roughly 50,000 die of heart disease every day, 25,000 from cancer, nearly 20,000 from respiratory disease every day. Nearly 7,000 people die each day from dementia, which tells me that my time must not be too far off. Today, the daily death rate from COVID-19 is 5,000. The lesson from our pandemic is to rouse us from our daydreams. People die. In 1995, I learned that I had multiple sclerosis. My brothers acted as if I had been handed a death sentence. I looked around me and saw that the whole world was dying. My brothers were dying. My friends were dying. Everyone born into the world is dying. I said, we are all riding a train toward death. Yes, I thought my stop was further down the track. But now I have learned it is a few stops closer than I thought. At the end of the day, what is the difference? And I must add on a personal note that I received on that day the great gift of being mindfully, consciously, in a sense urgently, dependent on God. Greatest gift in the world. He keeps me alive every day, as he keeps all of you alive every day, in his wisdom, whatever that may mean for each of us. I live and you live in the most intimate relationship imaginable, a life and death intimacy. This is God's design. Like Adam and Eve, we have the opportunity to choose for him who is life and his marvelous world. Or like Adam and Eve, we can choose the alternative, the other from God. But since God alone is life, all else is death. Everything except God is death, and hell is the house of death, an eternal life in death, which is eternal separation from God who is life. What happens to us in this veil of tears, which we call the gritty world, on which the sun goes down, does not matter. Only love matters. And while he is in the world, while I am is in the world, we have light, the light of the world. This is our gospel lesson today. Rejoice in his light. Rejoice in his love. He is our all, our everything, and our God, and nothing else but him really matters. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen.